Good morning, Rock of Ages. Pastor Soto, with me, Pastor Duke. We want to thank you once again this Sunday morning for allowing us to come into your home. This will be the last part of a three-part series that we had. We've been coming together. We thought it'd be awesome, really nice. I know that I had a good time. We've all had a good time sharing together. Just giving you some principles that I think are very important during this time. As a matter of fact, the title of our session, if you will, or our devotionals that we've been having is For Such a Time as This. And we've explained the reason why. The idea and the premise of it is to find out what happened to these things that we used to practice so easily when we were amongst the community. And now that we're alone, are we still practicing those as if we were in church all together?
Right.
And so I hope that you've learned something and reminded you of how valuable it is to pray. It is to have community, to reach out. I know that after the service that we had, or the devotional that we had concerning community, I got several texts from church members saying, "Hey, Pastor, just dropping by, say hi, mm-hmm. to encourage you." Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that. And that was awesome. And so that tells me that you're listening. So again, we thank you for letting us in today. You want to greet them, Pastor?
Absolutely. Good morning, Rock of Ages. We're so thankful for the opportunity, as always, to be able to just share a word of God with you, and we pray that you're encouraged by this message today.
Amen, amen. Before we begin, we're going to be praying for our tithing and our offering, but also in the meanwhile, right now, just for a few seconds, if you can, take your phone, text your friends, let them know that we're on, and we're going to be giving a nice, an encouraging Bible lesson today. I know it's going to encourage you and take you to a place where you're going to elevate in the Lord. So text somebody, call your family if they're out there somewhere, bring them in. Sit down in the comfort of your home, and let's have church for a little while. Amen? But let's pray for our giving. And as we do, thank you so much for your generosity. Rock of Ages is still doing well. A little leaner, I have to be honest with you, as your pastor. But we're doing well. And I thank you for not forgetting the support of this ministry. We need you so badly. Don't ever forget that. You are the reason, and you are a really big difference game changer in this, as you not forget the ministry that we have at Rock of Ages. So thank you for your generosity and giving. But let's pray. Let's pray that God will bless our givings today. Father, we love you and we worship you. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that today you allow us one more time to come inside the homes of your saints, Lord. And anyone else who is coming in to watch this service, Father, we welcome our outside visitors. Maybe you don't go to Rock of Ages. I sure wish that you would, but maybe you're from out of town, out of the city, state, and even the nation. I don't know where you're at listening to social media. It reaches endlessly, but we want to welcome you. And Father, as we welcome them, Father, we want to thank you for the generosity of those who have been sending in their tithing and giving free will offerings, and all those people that are still a part of the kingdom givers. Thank you, God, that Rock of Ages is still moving forward, and we can truly expect that when all this going on with this virus, and we're able to go congregate together at Rock of Ages will still be there, upkept and yes, moving forward. We're going to get in there, Father God, with excitement. But all this is going to happen as we maintain our venue, as we maintain the sanctuary, Father God, and this comes from the generosity and the love that your people have for you, and I thank them in advance. So I pray that you would bless them, that you would prosper them, even in this lean time, it seems like, that you would prosper us, Father, and allow them to even be more generous. We thank you for your goodness. I know that you are a rewarder of those, God, who give unto you. You will never be a debtor to no man. And so I bless their finances. I bless their homes, Father God. Bless them materially, spiritually, emotionally, Father God. Mm-hmm. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless his word. We're going to speak about a couple of topics again, as we have been for the past couple of weeks. And we're going to cover today a couple of things. One being witnessing.
Right.
Witnessing. And the second we'll go into, as the hour approaches, the art of worship. These, again, just like the other things we've discussed, are valuable principles that we should never look at light in our hearts or forget to practice on a daily basis, because they're life givers. They really are. you know, and they're mandates of the Lord, as we will learn today. And, you know, our intent, I think you'll agree with me, Pastor, that it's to please God.
Right.
We want to do what God wants us to do. We want His heart to be glad, to rejoice in what we do. And we can offer Him everything we can, but we also need to offer Him obedience because that pleases the Lord as well. So let's jump right on in and let's speak about witnessing. You know, at Rock of Ages, we went to the pulpit to teach a church. We always spoke, hey, bring somebody to church. Mm-hmm. You know, several of you did, and we thank you for that. But yet, I have to be honest, and you have to be honest with yourself. Sometimes we don't take anybody. We don't call anybody. We just take care of number one, and we go to church. But the encouragement from anyone who's behind the pulpit is, bring somebody to church. And again, the impulse behind that is to get you to witness, to tell somebody about Jesus. Tell somebody about Jesus. Encourage them to come to rejoice and enjoy what we have found in Him. You know, it's so important. And we're going to find out some serious things, if you will, and important things that I believe should encourage you and hopefully will encourage you to not be silent anymore,
right,
but to begin to encourage others. Let me just begin to read this out of some notes that I have here. The Lord Jesus died on the cross to accomplish redemption, then victoriously resurrected from the dead. And right after that, he told his disciples, and you know this passage out of Matthew 28 and 19, he said, therefore go and disciple all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Very important on this passage, and I want you to jump in, Pastor, in just a little bit, is that this passage is not simply a recommendation.
Right.
It's not something that Jesus said, like, well, I don't want you to get bored, so why don't you try having somebody over sometime? No, it's a commandment that the Lord said and gave us. The Lord Jesus didn't suggest or recommend it. He commanded not only the ones that were listening to Him at that moment, but to us today. He commissioned us to go out and preach Him. Not us, not denomination, not philosophy, not the religion, but to preach Him. And that's what we're doing today. We're not preaching Pastor Soto or Pastor Duke or Rock of Ages or whatever. We are preaching Christ. He's the only one who can make a difference in your life. We can do nothing for you. But what we can do and been called to do is to lead you to the one who can change everything about you. So to go out and preach Him and spread the news about Him to all the people of the world, whether or not we like it, whether we feel prepared for it or not, the Bible teaches us it's God's will. Amen? Right. God's will.
Yeah, it's most definitely His command. You know, I'm reminded of that verse. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release darkness from the prisoners. And so I know that the Lord, you know, in designing us to be witnessers, you know, we have to be people, and I think maybe sometimes we forget this. You can only be a witness of something that you've been through, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can only witness of the one that you have had an encounter with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to encourage your church, you know, these things that we're teaching you, it's so fundamental, so important to understand that without a relationship, the witnessing doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a relationship with Jesus because that's where you encounter the presence of God, and that's where you tell of what He's done for you and in your life. Amen?
Amen, amen. You remember Jesus said that we are the branches that are connected to Him,
right,
the true vine. Now, the branches, sadly enough, for some people who try, who have no harvesting and planting trees, a tree would be no good if he's got a whole bunch of branches and has no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not the intent of Christ having us and leaving us here on earth as He went to sit at the right hand of the Father. But he called us the branches on the vine to bear fruit. And branches cannot live, and this is important, branches cannot live unless they are attached to the vine. And so this has to do with relationship. But the point is that since we are attached and we're believing that your relationship with God is getting richer every day, then what's going to really prove that is that that branch of your life is going to begin to produce fruit unto the Father.
Right.
You know, and you know that the Lord's harvest isn't the peaches or oranges here in the valley, but it's souls.
Right.
You know, that's the fruit that God seeks today.
Right. Before that, You know, I'm reminded of, you know, when Jesus said, he says, the world's going to know you're my disciples when you love one another. Mm-hmm. And love is what compels us to witness. Mm-hmm. It's not only the encounter of the love that we've received from God, but it's what propels us forward because we love people.
That's right.
We don't want to see anyone go to hell. We don't want to see anyone step into an eternity without Christ. That's many people, unfortunately, in the times that we're living in, are stepping into that eternity at even a more rapid rate with COVID and all these things that we're experiencing. And so that should compel us, because we love them, mm-hmm. to share the witness, share the word of God, share the testimony of who Jesus is to us.
That's
right. They need to know this.
Absolutely. You know, when I pray in my silent time here at home or wherever I'm at, I try and do my best to never forget how in debt I am with the Father. How in debt I am with the Father. I'm saved. Pastor's saved. You're saved. If not, we want to pray that you receive salvation today, because you need to be saved.
Amen.
But we are debtors, you know, and I wrote these things down here. It says, one thing we have to understand, that the world has a desperate need to hear a saving message. And it's our responsibility as fellow human beings to make sure that they find that salvation that they need so much. And the reason being behind it, one of our motivating factors, is the fact that we are believers, therefore we are debtors. This is what Paul said in Romans 1 and 14. I am debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both wise and to foolish. That is, we're not partial to anybody. Because I'm saved, I owe it to the sinful world to give them a taste of heaven through the Christ that I have met. And allow them to learn of that road that's going to lead them to eternal life, just like we have been led down that road through salvation. So I am in debt. And if we feel that way, that means that anytime we meet somebody and you see that they're lost or you see some problems, you know, we've come across, and I'm sure you have as well, and even you, we've walked into the midst of a mess with people. You know, people having a fight, or husband and wife, or even the sick. You know, as I was in the hospital, obviously in the hospital, what do you meet except sick people? Mm-hmm. And so I can tell you, and a real quick testimony, pastors, I was sitting in my gastroenterologist office several months back, and a woman walked in with her daughter. I didn't know it was her daughter at that time, but she walked in and she was hunched over and just crying. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was a lot of chairs, but somehow, for some reason, I think it was a God incident, she sat right next to me. There was a lot of chairs all over the big room she could sit, but she sat right next to me, and an older lady. And so it compelled me to speak to her and comfort her somehow. And I said, hi, how are you? And she just took her napkin and cleaned her face. She goes, hi. I said, are you okay? And the daughter sat across on the same aisle, but facing us. I said, are you okay? He goes, well, I'm trying to be okay. And she was one. I said, what's the matter? She goes, well, I just got diagnosed. I said, really? He goes, yeah, what happened? He goes, I have liver disease. I said, really? Uh-huh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. They go, well, I mean, let me share this with you. I too have been diagnosed with liver disease. She goes, yeah, but you don't look sad, you know? And we could attribute that to the fact that I had already been diagnosed, it was already a year later or whatever. But the fact of the matter is that I had peace in that all the time, and I needed to share why.
Right.
And I began to talk to her about fear and the root of fear, where it came from. And basically the Lord and the Holy Spirit, I thank God for, is that he led me down the path to lead her to understanding that fear has to do with the unknown and chastisement and the fear of you having made wrong decisions. And so she asked me, she goes, how could you survive? I said, well, I've got hope. I know what's on the other side.
Right.
If this thing decides to take me home, if this thing that I'm going through right now, the Lord decides to go ahead and close a chapter of my life in this world because of this, I know what's waiting. Mm-hmm. So when you know what's waiting, there's really no dark hole or black hole, as they say. I know exactly what it is. And her eyes began to dry up a little bit. And ultimately, make a story short, I ended up leading both her and her daughter to the Lord right there in the office, the doctor's office. And the point being that, you see, the unbeliever needs to hear this message. Yes. And I know that you've got family members, children, friends, neighbors who will go through stuff, and what they want is somebody who can give them the answer to how to escape these things, because we all love peace, joy, and happiness.
Right.
And in this world, especially now that we're living in, there is no joy, peace, and happiness too much around.
Right.
But us as believers, we know the root of it all, and His name is Christ.
Right. You know, I'm just a firm believer, right? You can't share what you haven't seen, what you haven't experienced. And, you know, something you said, it's so important. You know, I'm reminded of Paul. Paul was this guy that the Lord ended up using with tremendous power and effectiveness to be one of the greatest witnesses that you know, the Bible teaches us of. You know, he wrote, you know, 2/3 or so of the New Testament. He was persecuted heavily, but the Bible says that Paul has this moment of conversion. And when God gets a hold of somebody, they're no longer who they once were. Mm-hmm. And it was the almost immediate response of Paul that after he has this incredible encounter with the Lord, he then turns, and what does he do? He becomes this powerful witness.
Uh-huh.
You know, he becomes one of the most powerful witnesses that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it started with his encounter, right?
Mm-hmm.
It started with him actually engaging, you know, face to face, if you will, with the Spirit of God.
And, that's right.
And I believe, you know, Acts 22:15 says, you will be his witness to every race of people, and you will share with them everything that you've seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, you can't share what you haven't seen.
That's right.
You know, you can't, you know, tell of what you have not heard unless you experience you know, Christ for yourself. And so I want to encourage those who are listening today.
Amen.
You know, maybe you're listening right now and you say, you know, I'm in need. I'm hurting. I don't feel like I have hope in this season. Listen, Jesus is the answer. He's the only answer. Mm-hmm. It was moments before this that, you know, this one of the most famous verses was shared that, you know, there is no other name under heaven and earth and under the earth that was given to men by which we must be saved.
That's
and
right.
That is through Jesus Christ alone. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. That's true. It makes so much sense right now when you're saying you really can't give out what you don't have.
Right.
You know, I think the old adage that we have here really is significant now when you say been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not a been there, done that Christian, then what can you talk about?
Right.
You know, when you know, we've had experiences in my 42 years of marriage with my daughter and my wife, Erica having a cancer when she was two, Irene having a cerebral stroke in the 80s, and me having that tumor in my spine, and now this, all these things, right? We've been through the mill, as people say,
right.
You know, but and some, you know, not that you have a death wish that you go through it again or it's over, so big deal. No. But I learned that you don't really complain about your crisis, because without realizing it, God is equipping you to do great things.
Right.
And in my 30 some odd years of ministry and in my office, you don't know how handy my toolbox has been of experiences. Now, did I like the operation that I had in my spine? Absolutely not. Did I enjoy and have a great old time with this transplant? Absolutely not. Did we have a great time while my wife was in the wheelchair for 2 years, hemiplegic or half paralyzed, or Erica losing her hair through chemotherapy? Man, that was an awesome time. No, it wasn't. But I promise you, I wouldn't give it up anymore, because you don't know how many times I've met people with children with cancer.
Wow.
You don't know how many times I've met men who walked into my office or met them in the street. They're pushing their wives along in a wheelchair that I've stopped to minister, because you can see how broken they are.
Right.
You know, all I got to do is raise my shirt a little bit and show you the scars of my life. And some people are afraid of surgery. Some people are doubting whether I'll make it through this or not. And I go like, hey, man, you know, been there, done that.
Right.
You know, so cheer up. And so they need good news is what I'm saying. The
right.
world needs good news.
Right.
You know, all this stuff, again, we go back and we keep talking about what's going on television these days. So much negativity, you know. And so if we shut our mouths, then Satan begins to win, because people today are beginning to complain that there is so much negativity in this world.
Right.
And this is a perfect time for us, church, a perfect time for you and I, Pastor and I, everybody, to open our mouths and offer salvation to this people.
Amen.
So let's quickly speak about a couple of things as far as preparation for witnessing. The first thing I want to recommend, and you can jump on this, pastors, it's very important. At least this is what I do. Again, I'm sharing this because this is what I do. The first thing we need to do if we want to be effective witnesses is to pray.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that no one will come into the Father unless he is wooed or willed by God.
Right.
So that means that we could take off and run off on the street and do whatever. But if you didn't you didn't have any business with God concerning those souls, I mean, what kind of motivation do you have as a human being in this world?
Right.
That's when people say like, sure, yeah, you too, whatever. Where do you live, in Mars? No, no. But when you speak to God about who you're going to witness to and what it is, sometimes God will just give you a witness about what they're going through. And you begin to speak to them. And by the time you know it, you're having revival in the middle of HEB somewhere.
Right.
Or outside in the yard while you're cutting the yard, a neighbor comes over. Whatever it is. But prayer is so important. After all, it's the Lord who sent us out.
Right.
So you're going to say in the morning when you get to pray, or when you get up to pray, you say, Lord, this is your day, the day that the Lord has made for me to mm-hmm. enjoy. Father, set me up. Set the souls up. Let me meet somebody today that has a need. And give me the words by the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be able to share Christ. But we need to hear from our leader, right. from the Lord that has it already set up for us.
Amen. Right. I think what happens in that time of prayer, right, is that the Lord sets your focus not to your agenda, but to His.
Mm-hmm.
And His agenda is to reach souls,
mm-hmm.
right? His agenda is always to witness, is always to go after that one lost sheep, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so when we spend time in prayer, church, it's our heart aligning with His, not, you know, His heart aligning with ours. And so mm-hmm. it's something that helps shape us, prepare us for the day,
mm-hmm.
get us ready, and make us more aware. Because mm-hmm. when you're seeing with God's eyes and you're thinking with God's mind and your heart's beating like God's, when you see that person, like mm-hmm. you said, you mm-hmm. know, in hurt, they have a need, you know, they may be standing on a corner, could be your neighbor,
mm-hmm.
could be someone that sends you a text message, and you just go the extra mile to say,
mm-hmm.
hey, what's really going on right now?
Yeah.
You know, what is it that you're going through? And you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're sensitive to the words they're telling you. You're actually thinking and working as the way the Lord would. And mm-hmm. this is what He wants us to do. So
mm-hmm.
starting it off with prayer is going to be absolutely, you know, I believe sets you up to be an effective witness. Mm-hmm. Jesus obviously often, you know, was separated himself from the crowds, from the noise, from the chaos that mm-hmm. surrounded him to pray to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe every time that he came back from those meetings of prayer with the Father, the Bible says that, you know, those that would encounter him, he'd heal and he'd bless. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and so there were so many miracles that followed, but it starts with prayer.
Exactly, it does. The Lord's going to identify the needs that people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember a couple of testimonies that you gave to me when we had that outreach here,
mm-hmm.
where you go knock at the door and say, how you doing? Listen, we want to invite you to something fun. Some of you may remember that outreach that we had here at my house. And all you got to do, I mean, the Lord will make you sensitive that you look at the face and you know that there's pain behind it,
right.
that there's an argument that just happened, or they just got up from a sick bed. And all you have to do is say, are you all right? And the Lord would have already prepared that heart to just yeah. break open. And by the time you know it, Pastor told me, we were out there in the middle of some apartments, in the middle of people we didn't even know.
Yeah.
And we were laying hands on these people
yeah.
With the people, the team that he went with, to pray over. And miracles begin to happen.
Yeah.
But you see, it all begins with God identifying those whom he is preparing for us.
Yeah.
You see? And then let me just get to this as well as we move on, continuing this subject. I think one of the biggest fears that hold people back from witnessing is, are we qualified?
Right.
Well, I've got one simple question. Are you saved?
Yep.
Are you saved?
No.
I'm going to give you time. You should just jump out really quick and say, Pastor, I'm saved. But are you saved? Right. If you're not saved, well, then I understand your concern. But are you saved? If you're saved, that qualifies you automatically. Jesus doesn't require that we go out to some seminary or receive some special training. Believing in and receiving Christ qualifies us.
Right.
You know, there is no proper way. You know, the disciples weren't excellent Bible teachers.
No.
You know, what Bible? The book of the law. I'll tell you what, the greatest living open letter that we carry is who we are and what we've been through. You know, people are so convinced that, and they kind of shun Christians sometimes because they feel like Christians have been in a bubble. Like, oh, well, look at them. He's got a job. He's got a nice house, drives a nice car. Well, he's a Christian, of course. He's never been through me. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, and my dad lost his job, and I can't find mine. I couldn't finish school or what have you.
Right.
That had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It has nothing to do with it. So they feel that, somehow we have been somehow granted this ability on some silver plate. You know, but you remember Paul said, man, I know what it's like to be hungry, man.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to be beat up and left for dead. I know what it's like to be helped and not helped. All these things, these negative things that we've always been through. And this is, I know about life. So don't tell me that, you know, I was a silver platter kid, you know, an heir to some kind of special thing. But no, but I will tell you this. And one thing that I do know is who I know.
Right.
You know, I've been through this, and if I've been through this, I know that the God that I serve, what he's done for me, he will do for you. And that's the greatest testimony. And that this is why you should not be afraid to share the gospel. Well, what do I tell him, Pastor? I don't know that much Bible.
Hmm.
But you know a lot about you. You know a lot about the time that you were lonely and God healed you.
Right.
When you were sick and God rescued you. You had none and God provided. You were afraid and God protected. You know all those things about you. I don't even know all those things about you. But you see, those people that God sets up for you want to hear that. And they'll find out, they'll say, wow, you too? Absolutely. That was awesome. Testimony. Know that your testimony, the fact that God reached out from the darkness and brought you into his marvelous light, qualifies you as a witness.
Yeah, absolutely. The scripture says, you know, with the comfort that we ourselves have received from the Lord, we comfort others also, mm-hmm. right? And that's exactly what they're looking for. But it's it started with what you received, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, if the Lord, you know, healed you, if the Lord, you know, strengthened you, if the Lord was, you know, just gave you a word of hope, whatever it is, that's the exact same thing that we pass on. But, mm-hmm. you know, we are, the Bible says that, you know, we're poured out, you know, Paul said, I'm poured out like a drink offering.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to continually keep getting filled from the Lord
mm-hmm.
so that we can continue pouring out into others.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the everyday things, right? Like, we don't have to make it so complicated. You don't have to be the Bible scholar. You don't have to be a pastor or a minister.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you've gone through, and mm-hmm. it's how the Lord has rescued you, how the Lord's redeemed you, how the Lord has turned the situation around. Those are the stories. Those are the testimonies that become a witness, obviously coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
But absolutely.
Those are the things that you're able to share with the lost, with mm-hmm. the hurting, the broken. They find hope in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll find hope in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and because we know that we're qualified, we should stand firm and allow nothing to stop us.
Right.
Allow nothing to stop us. You know, I remember when I used to work, I was a nurse at the hospital, and our supervisor that we had for several years in the operating room moved on to Minnesota or somewhere. He was not from here originally, but he came to manage OR here in the McAllen area. And then he moved on. So there was a lot of people, you know, had been there for years, longer than I, so I didn't have any expectation concerning management. But there was a couple of really good nurses there that in their hearts, you know, they shied back, but they wanted to take on the endeavor, the challenge. And so they obviously picked one. Administration picked a gentleman, a nurse that was there to lead. And I'll never forget that the first week he came on board, he was afraid to say anything. Why? Because he was just who he was the day before.
Mm-hmm.
The next day he came in with a badge. You know, he came in with, this is who I am. This is OR supervisor. But before he was just had his name, and I have a name and everybody has a name. So, hey, how you doing? But now he came in as OR supervisor. And so now it came to call things into order. And he go like, well, do you want to do this and the other? And there was no authority. You know, and people sometimes are afraid that they're not ready or qualified, and they begin to fear and say, well, what can I tell them? I don't know. I mean, they're just like me, whatever.
Right.
But they're not. You carry a badge. It's called the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of God,
right.
The word of the Lord, the command of the Lord. And I guarantee that it wouldn't be like maybe a month later that that individual began to bark out orders, man, because he was, you know, he was the man now. He was the manager. And not that we're going to go out there and challenge people and force them into the kingdom, but it'll give you strength to stand up and say, no, that guy's lost. He doesn't know the truth, or he needs help.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to stand up because you've been deputized by God
right.
to reach out into the heart of that man, along, like Pastor said, coupled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. These people will listen to the direction of someone who knows which way we're supposed to go.
Right.
Amen. Witnessing, so important for us. And it doesn't have to be, well, I got to find a pulpit, or I got to find, start talking to one person mm-hmm. at a time, one person at a time. You know what I've learned about Rock of Ages, Pastor? In all these years that I've been with you guys, I've had people walk into my office and say, well, why don't you get the whole group of church and go stand on 10th Street and yell, Jesus is coming, repent. And you know, and I appreciate that because people do that naturally. But and other people say, well, you should run off into Mexico and take 50 people of your church membership and go out there, and poor people are dying over there, and all these things, right? And I agree. Right. People need to do that. But every church I've learned over the years has its character. And one thing I love about you guys, Rock of Ages, is that one thing that you are great at is on a one-to-one basis. I love it because you'll come and introduce, hey, this is my friend who works with me. You may not bring 50, 30 people that you went out to chase off in the woods or whatever, but you brought that friend. You see, and that's awesome, because that one person means the world to the Lord. The Bible says that when one repents, there's a great celebration.
Right.
You know, so maybe I should ask you this. How many parties have you caused in heaven since you've been saved? You know, how many parties have you caused in heaven? Are you the reason? We're having another party. On whose behalf? Well, you know, Pastor Duke, somebody got saved. Hey, call a band. We're having a celebration because three people come on in and came on in and received Christ as Savior. What about you? You know, are we allowing heaven to celebrate? You say, well, I can't talk to one person. I need to talk to 10. No, one at a time. One at a time. Don't be afraid. Everyone in the scripture that got saved, you'll find out that they ended up going to somebody important in their lives or someone they met and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Mm-hmm. You need Jesus. Witnessing is so important, church. So important for all of us to do. I think it validates our walk with God. Validates. By your fruit, you shall be known.
Amen.
You know? And so this morning, I want to remind you that while you're at home now, and I know that a lot of you are on the internet and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all this other stuff, call people out. Talk to them about Jesus. Get away from all this baloney that's going on and share Christ. I think social media, I read an article today in Instagram, as a matter of fact, of someone who's really frustrated with Instagram or whatever it is, Facebook, because it's a bunch of junk. People are lying, cussing, and all this other stuff. When the idea behind it, at least I thought it was, myself, to be encouraging. You know, if you got a business, okay, put it on there. But anything else is always to talk about something on the up. Mm-hmm. But this person was absolutely frustrated because the more this person read it, they walk away hunched over, dragging their feet, kicking an empty can of beans down the road, you know, really sad, you know. And I think that we as believers, you know, some of you guys are really addicted to Facebook and all this other stuff. Well, turn it around. Don't let the devil handle the social media blessing that we have. And I never called it that, but I'm going to do that now because obviously it's a blessing that I'm talking to you today via social media.
Right.
But Pastor, like we're doing now, share Christ.
Right.
Share Christ instead of all this junk that's going on. Use it. Take advantage of it.
Right. There's no box that we're held into. Mm-hmm. You know, we can share Christ wherever we go. If it's at the line at the grocery store, if it's through Facebook, you know, social media and things like that, you know. But I think one of the most powerful witnesses is when the kingdom of God is released over a person's life. And I was reminded of this verse in Acts chapter 4. It says, the council members were astonished as they witnessed the bold courage of Peter and John, especially when they discovered that they were just ordinary men who had never had religious training. It says, and they began to understand the effect that Jesus had on them by simply spending time with him. Mm-hmm. Standing there with them was a healed man, and there was nothing more than they could say. Mm-hmm. And you see, you know, this is something that you alluded to earlier. We have the authority.
Mm-hmm.
We're empowered. I don't heal anybody. It's mm-hmm. the Spirit of God that flows through my life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The connection that I have with the Lord mm-hmm. that flows through my life. It was a chapter earlier in Acts chapter 3 that the Bible says that, you know, Peter and John were passing by that gate of beautiful mm-hmm. and that beggar, that man, that lame man was laying there. And you know, Peter's response was, you know, silver or gold, you know, have I not? He says, but what I can offer you is the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He says, take up your mat and walk.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're in court. Now they're being persecuted for their faith. And who's there? The guy that just got healed.
Uh-huh.
And these councilmen are looking at him. They said, we ain't got nothing to say. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a healed person standing right in front of me. And I think as witnesses, as believers, we actually have to start believing this stuff. Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. The sick will be healed. The dead will be raised. You know, lives are going to be completely changed because we're releasing the kingdom of God wherever we go.
Amen.
I've seen the Lord use me, Pastor, and I'm in debt to the Lord for this because it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
But my spirit wells up when I know, wow, God, you chose me as a vessel to use me in this way.
Mm-hmm.
To not, most of all, I believe it's always to reveal his glory.
Sure.
In someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But how can they taste unless we give them the invitation to the table?
Mm-hmm.
We give them that invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when it's through just a simple prayer saying, Lord, I pray for this person right now. You know, I spoke to a woman earlier today and obviously she's in the medical field. She's out there day in and day out. The hospitals are full and she just needed a word of encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Her spirit, I could tell, was just broken. She was going through so much. And I just prayed over that because I know that she's at another place where she's being, you know, she's having to pray for people on a daily basis.
Oh,
she's
seeing
people, you know, in the hospital rooms with COVID and all this stuff. And, you know, we have the ability to release the kingdom of God wherever we go. And
that's
they
it.
Need that.
Absolutely.
The world needs that. That's the greatest witness.
Yeah. Amen. That's so true. You know, church, there's nothing more that we can say to encourage you. You're either going to embrace it or keep going and look out for number one.
Right.
But if you really want to please the heart of God, then you're going to go out and obey his command and reach out to the lost. I've always said this, even from our pulpit at Rock of Ages, I've said it to my friends, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. I know that. And I know that you may not find significance in this, but this is how I feel inside as a father. I don't know if heaven will be complete without my family.
Hmm.
I don't know if I can't see Mia in heaven or Erica and Mandy and my wife and my grandchildren, Layla and Audrey, Olivia now. Did I do my work? I mean, is it heaven now? I mean, these guys are the taste of heaven God has given us here on earth, you know? And so we need to open our mouths with our families.
Right.
You've got sons and daughters that you're leaving and saying, well, it's a phase they're going through. No, reach out to them as the Bible says, as you're pulling somebody out of a burning fire.
Mm.
You know, you have command and authority over your children.
Yes.
Call your friends.
Yes.
Be witnessing. We want to encourage you, church.
Right.
When we go back to Rock of Ages, and we will, I promise you, we want to fill that place up, not because of numbers, not to say, well, we're running this many. No, but that the Lord might rejoice in what we're doing for the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's witness in Jesus' mighty name. The next topic of conversation, we'll be brief with this one, is the art of worship. And I want to begin with this introduction, this article that I read, Pastor. And I this is kind of a setup, if you will, the foundation of our coming again conversation. It speaks of Ray Edmond, it says, was a missionary, a college president, an educator, an author, and friend of countless Christians and seekers alike, friends like Billy Graham. And Billy Graham himself called him the most unforgettable Christian he ever met. Now, Edmond served as a chancellor at Wheaton College for many years, and he died in 1967 in the most appropriate setting imaginable. And how was that? He died on the pulpit preaching. You know, and I've said that often. When Jesus takes me, it won't be on a hospital bed. It's going to be I'm going to just drop right there at the pulpit. So don't be afraid. I've already forewarned you. But he dropped at the pulpit. And the topic he was preaching on was worship.
Hmm.
Worship. And so that morning, the writer of this article says, Dr. Edmond shared with his listeners a personal anecdote. And involved his meeting with the king of Ethiopia some years earlier. Listen carefully. This is going to set us up to understanding the importance and the protocol behind worship. He said he reminded them of an Ethiopian king meeting he had. In order to have an audience with the king, he said he had to observe strict protocol. You don't just go into a king's office and say, hey, what's going on, man? You know, and pop your feet up on his coffee table. If he did not meet the follow through on each criterion, he would be judged worthy of coming into the king's presence unworthily. Dr. Edmond then drew a parallel with this whole idea he was sharing in that weekday chapel service at Wheaton. He said, you have an audience with the King of Kings, he said, the ruler of Ethiopia or any other nation would fall on his face and cast his crown on the floor at the presence of the Almighty. Dr. Edmund wondered if those in the audience really comprehended the awesome act of worship, and he went on to offer practical suggestions as to how the people in that chapel could find their place to properly worship the King of Kings. Come to better realization as well of being in that transforming presence of God. And just like that day for him, in the very midst of that wise king, he would learn wise and godly counsel. Edmund himself was taken, like I said, amongst again to the Lord from that very same pulpit. And so the question behind all of this is, do people today in the church, when it comes to worship, do you know the protocol? Or do you realize who it is that, or what it is that you're actually doing? You know, we sing songs. You know, we've got a wonderful worship team. We read verses, we jump up and down. But I'm wondering how much of that is physical and mental learning, if you will. We learn how to do these things and to actually picture ourselves and place ourselves spiritually in the fact that we are in the presence of not and just anybody, but the King of Kings.
Right.
You know, some of us would never behave like we do in front of this, our national president. You know, we wouldn't, in front of one of our city councilmen, we straighten our backs out and we act differently. And there's certain protocol. If you're going to go to the office of someone important, you're going to dress up and prepare yourself. And this is, again, the thought that I want to bring to your heart today is worship. Are you still worshiping during this time? Or have you forgotten? And when you do worship, have you lost sight of who it is that you're worshiping? It's so important. Worship is so important for us.
Right. I believe, you know, worship is you know, it's not just a moment of time in a regular church service, but it is literally a weapon that God has given us. It's a tool that the Lord has given us to not only break down walls, you know, break through spiritual strongholds, to press through barriers, but more than anything, I think it's what happens in worship. And what's happening in worship is that God is getting exalted. But we have to understand, you know, Psalms 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place." Mm-hmm. It says, "You protect me from trouble and you surround me with songs of deliverance." Mm-hmm. I think people forget that you are literally sometimes a moment away, a song away, a thankful heart away, a gratitude, an expression of gratitude away from your deliverance. And sometimes it's just, it's so simple, but you know, we have to understand is that, first of all, the Lord is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says, you know, that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, and we owe that to him. But the Lord doesn't, I believe, Pastor, the Lord doesn't, you know, hold us to this like you owe this to me, but rather he's just delighted in it. You know, he's delighted when we praise and when we worship, because he sees the effect that it has on us.
Absolutely.
He sees the change in reality that it brings us to when we begin to just get lost in the presence of God.
Amen. Amen. You know, we're compelled. The love of Christ compels us.
Right.
You know, I think that's what kind of worship the Lord looks for. It's not one that is learned at church or one that you read about and you try to emulate because of the words of a man, but something that surges from the inside of you, bubbles up in your spirit, because, again, you'll never get there unless you realize who it is you're worshiping.
Right.
You know, in Psalm 100, and we'll just break it up just a little bit if we can. You know, it reads and it begins with this particular statement. And it kind of sets a pathway, if you will, of the things that we need to, would be good to emulate and to embrace. It says, "Shout triumphantly unto the Lord, all the earth." Right. And it's repeated. Now, this word, again, signifies to us that when we come to God, we should never be ashamed in attitude.
Yeah.
You know, we say it frequently, kind of coined this at the church, our attitude determines our altitude.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's different characters, people that are quiet. I've seen men just bow their heads and their tears are flowing and they make not a squeak. You know, and then you have the other guys who are whistling and shouting down and everything else. So we're different characters. But the fact of the matter is that when it comes to God, it just breaks down every barrier.
Right.
And it sets you in a different level, a different atmosphere where You hear the psalmist says, hey, and this guy's a king, mind you. He shouts unto the Lord. He goes, I mean, I shout triumphantly. And I guess that kind of shouting it happens in you when you know that you're winning.
Right.
You know, kind of like, yeah, again, look at sports. I mean, you see the people do the wave. You know, people throw things in the air and balloons and right. the band starts playing loud. Why? Because they made a field goal or a touchdown or a hoop, you know? And how much more for the King of Kings?
Yeah.
That when we walk into the church, you're going to meet with the Father.
Right.
You know, I sometimes get tired of the conversation. Well, come to church. The first 30 minutes, you know, we sing songs and stuff, and then we get into the Word. Is that all it is?
No.
I mean, the time filler?
Right.
Well, we might as well put a CD on and let you sit there and balance your checkbook because nothing spiritual is going to happen. Hmm. But when you come in here into the church and the worship leader goes up there and says, we're going to worship, all of a sudden you are transferred into the presence of God and say, Lord, every song that I sing and everything, I'm going to sing unto you because you are my God. And I'm going to shout it out at the rooftop. I'm going to shout it out.
Jesus said, you know, he's looking for worshipers that would worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, there can't be, David also said, he said, he talked about his dignity in worship. And, you know, something I remember years ago, we had, you know, an evangelist come and we had, you know, revival services at church and man, the Spirit of God was moving. And I saw one of the most dignified guys that I know in church, you know, and I won't mention his name, but, you know, a guy that is very, you know, well in character, well-mannered individual. I saw the Spirit of God get a hold of this guy and I saw him jump off the ground about that high because of what, when you connect with the heart of God, because he, there was nothing fake about that.
No.
You see, that was the Spirit and that was in truth, man, to 1,000%. And the Lord's not looking for performance. You know, he's not looking for us to look good doing it or, you know, clap in rhythm or sing in tune. And those are things that we pay more attention to. The Lord's focused on your heart saying, how worthy am I to you?
Amen.
You know, how worthy am I to you? Because Pastor, if we can recount all the things that we've gone through in our life and how many times the Lord has delivered us, man, we got a lot of shouting that we need to be doing,
that's right?
We've got a lot of praise that we need to be offering up to heaven because we know that God has been good to us, that God has favored us, that God has blessed us, that he's gotten us through so many things, but he's looking for our heart to connect in spirit and in truth once again.
They're certainly worthy of honor.
Amen.
You know, when you keep those things in your heart, we're going to go to worship. So what exactly are you going to do? I'm going to give him honor.
Yeah.
Give him value.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're not cheering anymore for your favorite team.
Right.
You're cheering to the magnificent King of Glory, the creator of all things. When you honor him, you lay down every plaque, every crown, all the accolades and lay them down because no one else is worthy of praise except him. You know, I many times, and you've seen me at the church, I'm going to start preaching and worship takes off and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. And I've got a sermon that I think is on fire and is going to tear the church up. I am rolling, you know, and I'm ready to go. And I'm going like, come on, let's get to the music and turn me loose. I'm going to get them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the church goes crazy in the presence of the Lord. People start jumping and shouting. You remember those times?
Yep.
All I have to say now, I mean, that's left for me to say is, anybody want to come to the pulpit? And everybody charges to the pulpit.
Right.
And I say this every time, and I always say it. When the King shows up, I've got nothing to say.
Yeah.
When the King of Glory shows up in the Rock of Ages, trust me, there is no sermon that is better than his presence.
Right.
And there is no song, there is nothing better than just having him there in the presence. And we bring him in as we worship. We summon the presence of the Lord when we worship. Yeah. And when he's there, because he will come. Remember that, you know, and we've said this again. If you go in the church, you can't find God. Worship him. He'll find you.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome? Amen. You come in there and say, I can't find God. I can't feel nothing. Well, worship him. Open the door to him. Open wide the psalmist, the gates of your heart. Let the King of Glory walk in. If you worship him, you may not find him. But guaranteed, he will find exactly where you're at.
Amen.
You know, the psalmist said it again in Psalm 100, verse 4. He said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Why? Because the Lord is looking for someone who is worshiping him. And if he can't find it over there or there, he's going to find it right where you're at.
Yeah.
And he'll come. And the presence of the Lord is exactly where we want to be. We need to worship. I think we were a worshiping church to start off with.
Yeah.
Rock of Ages is such a, all of them are great singers, and I just really enjoy it. But again, we learn that that is one of the most important principles. The cardinal truths for us is to know that if we can just get the church to worship, the whole place will be enveloped by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Worship.
Heaven is loosened, I believe, over God's people when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, when we enter his courts with praise. That same verse in the Passion translation reads like this. It says, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. And I love that because, you know,
in a world of passwords, right?
In a world of passwords, right? We get locked out of so many things. And if you feel like heaven's locked, then you need to begin to worship God. And that's going to open up the gates. That's going to open up the presence of the Lord to fall right there in your home, to fall right there at your workplace, to fall in the car. How many times have you had worship music on in the car and you're just worshiping while you're driving to work, or you got to pull over because the presence of God just begins to descend upon you?
Absolutely.
It's the most beautiful thing.
Yeah, there's so much to say about worshiping. And again, you get the gist of this devotional. We want you to get into worship.
Amen.
Because you can establish that holy place in your home, even right now when we're away. Yes. And you can just summon the presence of the Lord. I know it's happened to me many times in my room, in the living room, when I'm with my wife, my kids. Summon the presence of the Lord and begin with worship, just thanking God. You know, posture has a lot to do with it. You know, we raise our hands. And as a sign of surrender, we bend our knees, a sign of humility. All these things, so much to learn from worship. But we basically want to encourage you, church, especially now. You need the presence of the Lord in your house. You need God to get all over your business and what you're going through. Then worship him. You can't feel him? Worship him. I promise you, he will find you. He is gracious. He is wonderful. There's only one place that our souls desire to be all the day long. Amen. And that is in the presence of God. Are you a worshiper today? Have you taken time today to really just, not just learn a song by a new band out there, but to actually listen to the lyric? It'll change your life. I'm reminded of David and Saul. The Bible said that Saul was tormented by a spirit and David would come and play his harp and Saul would be relieved.
Yeah.
When we worship, it was the Spirit of the Lord. When we worship, our souls are relieved because we feed from the very presence of the Lord. If you don't know the joy of the presence of the Lord, we want you to know that.
Yeah.
We want you to know that. I know there's people around you, maybe you've never accepted Christ, and there's people around you that want to know Christ, but you're thinking, how can I tell him if I don't know him? Well, you can know him today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask Pastor to lead you today in a simple prayer that'll bring you into this family and equip you and call you and appoint you to do great things for the Lord. Your worship will begin to mean something when Christ is your Lord. You know, we're not talking about simply crying, yelling, shouting, dancing, and all these things. I'm talking about having a purpose for it and having that individual and only God to offer these things to. He responds. He has ears to hear, eyes to see. He has arms that are not too short to reach you, feet that are strong enough to walk toward you and hold you and receive from you. We want you to receive Christ today. Pastor, would you lead somebody this morning?
Yes, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, you know, he was God's only son. God sent him to this earth for the redemption of man, that it was to pay a price that we ourselves could not pay. The Bible says that Jesus willingly and freely gave his life for the sins of all mankind.
Amen.
That means that the sin that you and I were born into this world, you may say, well, I've never been a bad person. I've never killed nobody. I've never done any of these things. You know, the Bible says we were born into sin. And the Bible says for all have sinned and they fall short of God's glory. But the Lord is desiring to have that relationship with you. Jesus Christ paid the price so that you could know the Lord, so that you could have access to heaven through worship, through through witnessing, through the things that we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you right there where you are. If you're listening this morning, I want to pray with you and I want to just lead you in a simple prayer.
Yes.
And it's as simple as you just believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you can be saved. And in a moment right there where you are, you can be transformed by the power and the presence of the Almighty God. And so I want to just make this invitation to you. If you're listening to this message, I want you to just bow your head right there where you are, or just repeat this prayer after me and simply say, Jesus, say, come into my heart today. Say, I receive you right now as Lord. I receive you right now as Savior.
I receive you right now as Savior.
And I acknowledge today. That you died for my sins.
You died for my sins.
And that God raised you up.
God raised you.
On that third day.
On that third day.
And you are alive and well.
Alive and well.
And you desire to have a relationship with me.
You desire to be a relationship with me.
And so I confess today.
I confess today.
You as my Lord.
You as my Lord.
And I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That I am saved.
That I am saved.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, shoot us a text. Go to our internet site and then comment area and just let us know that you received the Lord. It means a lot to us again. And if you're viewing again this broadcast, let us know that you're there and pray for us. We're doing the best to reach out to our community because we love you. One last thought I want to leave you with really quick, and this I was just reading this off my notes, and this is just really quick. Just remember that you are either a flatlander or a highlander when it comes to worship. You're either a flatlander or a highlander. Flatlanders live in only two dimensions. They are well-versed in faith. They know the lay of the land. They know the routine, and they love it. The only problem is that they are living in a horizontal realm. The flatlander lives in a horizontal realm. They don't know that there is an up to life. Highlanders are simply flatlanders who have discovered worship.
Yeah.
And they are constantly pushing up, up, up to experience God. And here's the thought. What a privilege we have been afforded to have an audience with the King.
Yes.
But we need to be highlanders.
Amen.
Because we raise our eyes to the hill, where our help will always come from. Church, we love you.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Next week, one of us is gonna be here to share the gospel with you. Please don't forget your support for Rock of Ages. Don't forget to pray for me. I'm sitting here in a little bit of pain as we share the gospel. Pray for my healing and complete recovery, for Pastor Duke ministry, Rock of Ages. Pray for each other. Remember community. Remember the word. Remember prayer. All these things that we've talked about. Don't forget this. And we want to encourage you how to enrich your life right now that we're living for such a time as this. This is important to learn. God bless you. We'll see you next week. Amen.